glad as I am that you made it to church today. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to a scripture reading. But I had a little coughing jag earlier. It's behind me now, and I'm on the backside of a cold, so I've been doing these Halls things. I don't know if you've noticed, Halls got a new thing on their wrappers. It's a pep talk in every drop. Have you seen this? So they got little sayings on here. Mine said, be unstoppable, bet on yourself, and turn can do into can did. So what am I supposed to do with that, you know? Well, here we go. Can do, moving into can did. It is so good to be in God's house today. I want to invite you to turn with me to a scripture reading which comes to us from the book of Acts, which comes right on the heels of the four Gospels, an amazing account of what God was up to in the world, and I believe what God is still up to in the world. So we come to chapter 10 today, the verse numbered 34. We're going to actually read a few more verses than those listed in your worship bulletin today, just because we can, you know. I might just go keep reading the whole thing. But Acts 10 and 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. So when the Holy Spirit falls in the scripture, sometimes it sounds like the mighty wind. Can I get a little mighty wind from you all? That's pathetic. I want to... Is that all the wind you got in you today? I want to hear the wind. Okay. Sometimes it sounds like thunder. So, all right. All right. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues. We won't go there just now, but... and extolling God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you've had this happen to you where you hear a story told a time or two or maybe three, and it starts becoming your own story. You know what that's about? You hear it told, it's told so well that you start thinking, you know, you really were there. And then you hear it again, and before long, you're convinced that you were there. It happens in the world of sports all the time. somebody throws a no-hitter or hits a buzzer beater to win the championship, and all of a sudden, a half a million people were at that game. One of my favorite examples of that phenomenon, one told that comes out of the women's suffrage movement in this country, those days in the early last century of efforts made to grant women the right to vote. Some of you who are younger here today may not know that that was once true, that women could not vote in this country, nor could people of color vote in this country. All kinds of injustices we have had to overcome, and injustices we still have to overcome. Amen. But in this case, it meant parades were held all over the nation in support of women voting, one of which took place in New York City, where it was reported that 89 brave men dared to march with the women. Well, upon passage of the 19th Amendment, another parade was held in that city. The original small group of men were invited to march in one section of the parade. And do you know that on the day of the parade, all 520 of the original 89 showed up? That right there is what's called jumping on the bandwagon. But great moments and great stories have a way of doing that to us. It's like the story a friend of mine tells. She's a pastor. She had come to a church that was shrinking. It was down to just 8 people. She had begun in the fall of the year. By the winter, they were up to a dozen or so. Things were looking up. So it was on a freezing cold Minnesota Sunday in January, so cold in the sanctuary that she suggested right in the middle of the service that maybe they should go up into the balcony together, up where it was warmer to finish the service. So they did. They went up, kind of like an upper room up there, huddled their way through the rest of the service, kind of like what's going on in our balcony today. I see you all huddled up there. Well, that day became part of the congregation's story, part of their legacy, one they told over and over again. Hundreds of times they told that story, the story of that humble beginning to their renewal as a church, a renewal that continues to this day. A couple of years ago, the story got told yet again, was in a congregational meeting. This old guy stood up and he said, "Remember that day? That day it was so cold. Hardly any of us in church, and we went up into the balcony to finish the service." My, that was some day, wasn't it? The only problem was with his chronology. See, he couldn't have been there. He hadn't even started coming to that church yet, and everybody knew it. But it's what we do, don't we? We let the story become our own. Well, we come to a story this morning that we would do well to make our own, this one right here. See, if I were to try and characterize the book of Acts, and I could only use one word to do so, I know what word I would choose. I would choose the word conversion. The book of Acts, the story of the early church, is most principally the story of conversion, of men and women converted from one way of understanding the world to another, from one way of understanding God to another, from one way of understanding themselves and their own brokenness to another, because conversion is all over the place in this book. This breakneck account of the early church, of how people took that story and how it grew and spread throughout the world. It's the story of these early converts, people who came to be known as people of the way. That was the name given to the earliest followers of Jesus, and there was great significance in that name. You see, Christians at the outset were associated with a particular way of life, a lifestyle, something other people could see. Believing meant following, meant living out the teachings of Jesus. And that lived out faith had clear social implications and results. Here were people who became known, well known in fact, as a sharing, caring, open community. One especially sensitive to the needs of the poor and the outcast. Their love for God, their love for one another, their love for the oppressed was central to both their identity and their reputation. Their refusal to take human life, to be bound by any kind of racial or ethnic or gender distinctions. Their refusal to bow down to the imperial deities, all that was a matter of public record. In fact, one first century writer, in a letter written to the Roman emperor, described the Christians he knew this way. They love each other. They never fail to help widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give freely to the one who has nothing. If they see a stranger, they take him home, and they're happy as though the one taken in were actually a member of their family. They don't consider themselves brothers and sisters in the usual sense, but brothers and sisters in the spirit, in God. See, the earliest followers of Jesus were known by the way they lived, not just for what they believed, because for them, the two were completely entwined. They were not called people of the experience. They were not called people of right doctrine. They were not even called people of the church. They were called people of the way, because their encounter with Jesus had set their lives on a whole new course, and they had converted to a new direction with a new director. So today, we come to Acts chapter 10. Peter's telling of the story of the gospel, this amazing account of who Jesus was, what he came into the world to be and to do. And if you read the story that precedes the one in our text today, and I encourage you to do that, when you go home, read the first two-thirds of Acts chapter 10. You get to a moment that changed everything for Peter. Go back to the beginning of the chapter and you get the story of Cornelius, this Roman centurion, this officer in the army that was occupying Palestine, causing a heap of trouble for Peter and for the Jews. And we read that Cornelius was not somebody we would expect for a person in that position. He was generous. He was compassionate. He was somebody who looked out for the needs of others. He was somebody who came to enjoy the favor of his Jewish neighbors, favored and appreciated despite this huge wall that separated them. And we read that God came to Cornelius in a dream, told him to send some of his fellow soldiers to go find Peter, to bring him back to Caesarea, and so Cornelius did. He sent three guys to go find Peter. Now, about the same time, God showed up to Peter in a dream, gave him a vision, this strange vision of a sheet being lowered down from heaven, and in the sheet were all these animals, all of which were ritually unclean to Jewish people, things God had commanded them not to eat for centuries. But guess what? Are you ready for this? God changed the rules. Told Peter to kill the unclean animals and eat them. Peter said, oh no, God, I've never done that before. I ain't going to do it now. Those animals are unclean. They're profane. But God said, what I make clean, you will not call profane. In other words, God do whatever God wants to do. And if God wants to change the rules, well, consider them changed. It was an unequivocal message that this gospel would not be defined by partiality, would not be defined by insiders and outsiders, was not based on some kind of pedigree or achievement. This was a gospel for everybody, starting right now, Peter. Whatever assumptions you've had before, you can throw them out the window, because this Messiah is Lord of all, verse 36. This Jesus healed all who were oppressed by the devil, verse 38. This God has spoken through all the prophets, declared that everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, receives forgiveness of sin through his name, verse 43. Well, yeah, amen. I mean, really? That means you, right? You got in. It means me. God spoke to Peter in a way that Peter needed to be spoken to. Spoke in a way he could really hear the story. In a way that he could make the story his own. See, Peter was a visual learner. Any visual learners here? You know what I'm talking about. You need a picture, right? And so it took a picture of a sheet coming down out of heaven, full of things that would have turned Peter's stomach, for Peter to have his aha moment. But he did. Aha. And we read that he followed Cornelius's emissaries back to Cornelius's house, where he'd gathered up all of his relatives and his friends to listen to what Peter had to say. And now the stage is set, at the risk of his entire reputation as a Jew, with a willingness to suffer the ostracism and judgment of everybody that mattered in the church up to this point, Peter does something unthinkable. He sets foot in the unclean world of the Gentiles and tells the story of Jesus. The story that had changed his life forever. The story that meant people didn't need to live in bondage to sin anymore. The story that God had made a way for forgiveness and restoration and life eternal. It was the turning point from which there would be no return. How God's kingdom and family was going to look now and forevermore. I don't know if you noticed it. Well, I think you did because I called it out. But the Holy Spirit fell. It fell on everybody in the room. This last summer, I had the privilege of... We had Prince Rogers Nelson's funeral here at Park Avenue. Prince grew up in this neighborhood, and when it came time to... For his family to have their service, they gave us a call, and so we did. We had a beautiful service, and I was sitting with some family members in preparation for the service. And so we'd gone through all the logistics, some security issues, let's just say, for that deal. We had the police here. We had Prince's security firm. 9 people with these on, walking all over the campus, and we papered the windows so that we wouldn't have paparazzi peeking in on the service. I said, well, we do that every week because, we're used to that. So we'd gotten through all the logistics, and I turned to one of his beautiful sisters, and I said, so I've heard all that. Thank you for thinking about all that stuff. I said, I'm going to ask a pastoral question. I'm going to ask you this, lots of folks have had their thing since Prince passed, Another religious group has had their thing. Los Angeles has had its thing. New York City has had, the world has had its thing. This is your thing. This is your family. How would you like, what are your hopes for this day? And there was a pause. And one of Prince's sweet sisters said, well, I would hope the Holy Spirit would fall on us. Yeah. And I will tell you that that happened. We saw that happen. And when the Holy Spirit falls, the unexpected comes, Comes like a mighty wind. Comes like thunder. Comes with people speaking in ways they've never spoken before. Here they were praising Almighty God, the Bible says. It was so remarkable, it was so unprecedented and true that Peter ordered up baptism on the spot. You see, salvation was not going to be withheld. The Spirit was not going to be withheld. Even baptism, that sign and mark of identification with the broader body of Christ, that wasn't going to be withheld. They were all in. Glory be to Almighty God. And here's something I know. I know that not all of us have a story like Cornelius's story. Not all of us have lived upstanding lives, well thought of by our neighbors, had a track record of always doing the right thing. Some of us have screwed up. Thank you, men, for singing that. big time. Yours truly included. Our stories are people in need of healing and forgiveness, but there's a question in the mix today. And the question is, if you have never made this story your own, if you have ever thought yourself excluded from the good news of God's grace and forgiveness in your life for whatever reason, if you've ever been told that it's only for people who have lived a certain way and gotten things mostly right, or that you have to be in a certain place at the right time, that if you weren't, then you missed out. If there has been any reason at all why you have concluded that this story, the story of Jesus coming to earth and dying so that you might be set free from whatever it is that has held you back, from whatever it is that has kept you down, then might today, might right now, be the day and the moment that this story becomes your story. So, I got one for you. January 4th, 1974. Not everybody's got a date. I got a date. My mom's here today. I got raised in as God-loving, Jesus-serving family as you can imagine, and I said, mm-mm, not for me. In my adolescence, I said that. And through the love of a very close friend in my life who saw that missing in me and who cared about me enough to share the love of Jesus, and I will say this to those of you who are younger today, there is no way that a young person can hear the good news of the gospel more authentically than through the witness of another young person. You know, us older people, A lot of the times it's uh-uh. But you can do it. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of right now. And I had a friend who was the church of right now in my life. And we went to a coffee house in Fridley, Minnesota, of all places, on a cold winter night. And a musician showed up and sang some songs. And I came home and stood in the bathroom of 1536 Simpson Street in St. Paul and sang, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." That was my moment. I sang it quietly. I didn't want to wake up my mom and my dad, you know. Although I will tell you that there's probably no song they would have rather heard from this kid of theirs at that moment in his life and their life than that song. It was the day when the story became my own. And I'm thankful to God for that. Would you pray with me? And as we do so, maybe today is a day for a new beginning for you. We've been singing about that today. Maybe today is a day when the Spirit of God has brought you in touch with a gap that's going on in your life. Maybe there was a time when this story was really vibrant and real in your life, and that changed, and so today is a day you'd like to make that right. And there's no moment like this one. And so, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and to kneel at this altar.